Welcome to The Telegram. I'm Tim Stanley. What is the Tory party's problem with ethnic minorities? A new report has found that voters from a black and minority ethnic background have trouble identifying with the Conservative brand. So can the Tories do anything about their race issue? Or is their nasty party label too firmly attached? I'm joined in the studio by Sean Bailey, a former Number 10 advisor who is critical of his party's approach to this issue, and The Telegraph columnist Janet Daly. The Conservative Party has a problem it simply can't solve, despite decades of trying. Ethnic minorities won't vote for it. Data published this week showed that it scored just 16% of the ethnic minority vote in 2010, while a wildly unpopular Labour Party got 68%. Tory donor Lord Ashcroft has pointed out that the single best predictor of someone not voting Conservative is not being white. What has gone wrong? Why is David Cameron's assiduous courtship of black minority ethnic voters not working? And could it cost him the next election? Sean Bailey, what do you think's gone wrong?
I think most of it is historical. It's actually less about race and more about authority, about acceptance, about racism, about do ethnic minority communities feel like they're part of Britain. The Tory party is certainly linked to the establishment. It's a very British thing. And if you come here and you feel unwelcome, then you can't vote for that British thing. It's as much about class as it is about race. And the two things, particularly politically and on a day-to-day level, they cross quite heavily. If you look at the historical thing, that the left have been lucky and also done the right thing. So the union movement was massively racist in the beginning, but they quickly understood that by using the plight of black peoples, they could boost their sort of cultural standing, and the way they did that, and they made efforts, and you can't fault them for that. They made efforts to welcome those people in. They turned their view around, and it's been useful for them politically.
Okay, I want to pick up on a couple of things you said there. I was very surprised by your first answer. You seem to suggest that that the Tory party is associated with British identity, and that perhaps people don't vote for it because they struggle in a wider sense to associate themselves with British identity.
Yes, and that's a fact, because if you speak to a black person, they'll tell you they're British. They'll maybe tell you they're British. They definitely won't tell you they're English. And that's because they've been told they're not allowed to call themselves English. Now, that might not be an official version of events, but that's what happens on the street, and that's how people react and behave. What will happen to the left? The Tory party have made big strides, and David Cameron's work has been important because it's definitely stopped it sliding backwards, and I think it's the beginning of it going forwards. And as ethnic communities feel more and more engaged, they're more and more likely to vote Conservative. You see that if you compare the Afro-Caribbean community at one end, who are not engaged politically or socially, they absolutely do not vote Conservative. But if you look at the Indian and the Sikhs, for instance, they do vote because they are involved in the British establishment. They have benefited from Britain. When that culturally turns around, then that 16% can grow.
How have they benefited from Britain in a way that Afro-Caribbean people have not benefited from Britain?
Racism was a very different thing for them. Black people, black African-looking people, are, particularly men, are feared. And you do not employ people that you're afraid of. This is a fact. We are portrayed in the media as dangerous. We do not help our own case by suggesting we're dangerous through rap music, films and all the rest of that. And so people take us at our word, so they don't engage with us. The education system through the 60s and 70s was horrific for black boys. It had absolutely no intention of in educating them, so they don't have the skills to benefit from then the 80s and the 90s when the economy grew. All of those things are more important than the political argy-bargy of why people don't vote one way or the other.
And the Asian experience is different.
The Asian experience is completely different. Indian people came from a country where they ran the country. Kenyan people were the administrative class. So when they arrived in Britain en masse, they had a skill that they could sell, and they went right ahead and sold it, as you would. So they've always seen Britain as a place of opportunity, you know. And let's be frank here, if you see a black man or an Indian man, who do you choose as the villain? We are portrayed as a villain, so people treat us like villains. And our response to that is not to engage with the establishment. Myself as a black man, I'm confusing to most black people because I am black enough, so I'm not posh at all, because they associate blacks who vote Conservative as posh. I'm not posh, yet they don't, but yet I'm a Conservative, and I always have have the conversation and generally come off on top because I'm correct. I'm socially conservative, so I vote that way. I'm more interested in conservatism than the Conservative Party, and that is a powerful notion for black people. That's the kind of thing that will bring us across.
There's a great number of American black conservatives who I think would identify with everything you've just said. Janet Daly, do you agree with that analysis?
I agree with absolutely every word that John has just said, but I think there's a very striking and quite moving parallel in the American situation. American immigrant groups are always Democrats in the beginning, always Democrats, whether they're Irish or Italian or Jewish, whatever. But there's a very interesting change when their children get to school. My grandparents were Russian Jewish immigrants who escaped from the pogroms at the turn of the century. Even though they were the most incredibly self-reliant, aspirational, free market-oriented people you could possibly imagine, they were so like the Asian shopkeepers here, for example, who kept the shop open. I had an uncle who kept the shop open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, so that he could put his son through medical school. That was absolutely classic from my immigrant experience. Then their children went into the United States public education system. And the United States public education system is entirely geared to taking in the children of immigrants, one wave of immigrants after another, and turning them into Americans and giving them the kind of education in something that we would probably find difficult to accept here, really kind of jingoistic patriotism, understanding of the Constitution. That probably wouldn't go over terribly well here. But there has to be some analog. There has to be some way of assimilating the children of immigrants into the British identity, which the education system here has been diametrically opposed to. The education system here, if anything, has encouraged the children of immigrants to believe that they are the victims of colonialism, that the imperial British culture is opposed to their interests. It hasn't really made any attempt, including the kind of self-conscious multiculturalism in which you're supposed to keep your immigrant identity alive and not assimilate and not give up your sort of ethnic identity. That has really worked against what you might call the democratic freedom of the children of immigrants to decide that their values are really more consistent with the values of conservatives than they are with the values of Labour.
But Jen, what you're describing there is an immigrant experience, either with the first wave or the children of the first wave immigrants. When we're talking about Afro-Caribbean communities in particular, we're talking about people who have been here for a very long time.
Well, yes, that's my point. The children of the immigrants, the first generation immigrants here, seem to remain in exactly the same political orientation, whereas in America, they do not.
Right.
By the time you get to the second generation of, you know, Russian Jews, Italians, they're voting whatever. They tend to vote as often as not for Republicans because their values as, you know, immigrants are always, almost always, aspirational. They're almost always interested in fulfilling their own destiny. They're independent-minded, especially economic migrants. You know, that's, they've come to better their lives and to make a better life for their children. That should be completely consistent with the values of the Conservative Party. And in America, those people, by the second generation, don't have any difficulty voting Republican. But here, they do not start voting Conservative.
Okay, sure.
I've got to say, we're going to have a complete love in here, because I couldn't agree more. That's why our education system, I think it's beyond a conversation, our left wing. And that's what they do. They encourage, train even young black peoples to vote.
To be alienated.
There's a power in it for them, and it works for them politically. That's why I believe the education system, even if a teacher isn't sat at home thinking this, have massively opposed Michael Gove's reforms. I don't pretend to be an expert and know if he's doing the wrong or right thing, but he's definitely disturbing their monopoly, because our education system is relentlessly left-wing and teaches the children to be that way.
Can I just say that it's not just race that comes into this, it's class. There has been a very strong sense that you mustn't inculcate bourgeois values into working class children. You mustn't change their accents. You mustn't change their dialect. You mustn't impose kind of petty bourgeois values and social attitudes on working class children.
Absolutely.
That is diabolical. Absolutely diabolical.
That's absolutely the case. Class in this country and race, particularly if you talk about the Afro-Caribbean experience, and class are intimately wrapped up, because we are not a class class of people who benefited when the economy grew, because we didn't have those skills, because our education, we were viewed poorly in education, then poorly educated, so couldn't march on with everybody else. So class is a big thing. You've got to remember, you're sat in a country that has a saying, not for the likes of us. An American wouldn't know those words.
No, that's right.
Of course, that does beg the question of why you allied yourself with David Cameron, a conservative leader who for many people represents really a throwback to one nation paternalistic bourgeois conservatism. And there was a story which was reported in our newspaper of an anecdote that was attributed to you, which is marvellous, whether you say it happened or not. It's a wonderful anecdote, and I'm going to read it. Mr. Bailey is understood to have appealed directly to the Prime Minister, with whom he's understood to have no personal issues, over concerns that the party was not appealing to, quote, a broader set. He is said to have been, quote, horrified when Frank Luntz, an American polling expert, visited Downing Street and addressed a group of advisers. The friend said, quote, the pollster asked them what kept them awake at night, and they didn't have the wit to understand that he meant it was the electorate. When the pollster pointed that out to them, they literally said, nothing keeps us awake. How can you be advising people and nothing keeps you awake? Then someone said, oh, school fees does. Friends added yesterday, Sean believes that the bottom line is that him being of a different class is probably equally, if not more important, than him being black. Is this not a problem with David Cameron's Conservative Party?
I'd argue that the Prime Minister is the person who understands it the most. So when you say to me, why have I aligned myself with the Prime Minister? It's the Prime Minister's aligned himself with me because we both believe in conservative values. I'm much more interested in conservative politics as a concept rather than just the party. David Cameron has been instrumental in turning things around, in starting that change, because he's the first PM who can comfortably talk about race. Why the left have done the right thing? It's easy for me as a conservative to say the left are up to something. Some of it is that they are correct and they're right, and what they do is talk about race. I'd argue they talk about it in the wrong way and they use it as a device. But what's hampered the conservative message is that we don't talk about race. We just say, well, everybody's the same and let's get on with it. And that might be fine if you come from the people who are doing well, but people who are not doing well, the class debate, people who are not of your race, the race debate, want to be spoken about.
Well, and that's great, and it's a very impressive message. But the story surrounding your relationship with Mr. Cameron is that you felt frozen out on the basis of class and race.
Definitely not from the PM. The PM, I would tell you this, the PM put me on. The PM put me in a position to make those uncomfortable jibes, to ask those uncomfortable questions. I'm still currently in a position now, despite the handiwork of you and your colleagues, he still has me around. So my point being, I think he and his ilk, we need more of. We definitely need
Sean,
more.
Sean, what about constituency activists? Do you feel that conservative constituency activists are on message in the way that you say Cameron is?
Not always. It'd be a lie for me to sit here and say it's perfect. It simply isn't. Yeah. Isn't anywhere near close to perfect. But the point of the PM is that the message comes down. And I would argue that the constituency activists are the most important, because as a ordinary, you know, walking up and down the high street, if your local conservative association feels welcoming to you, it makes a real change.
Sure.
That's the kind of thing that will change Britain. But you've got to remember, for lots of people, they don't have the opportunity to do that. If you're in the middle of Wiltshire, you don't have that opportunity. So oftentimes it's tough. And that's why the central message of what we're doing to engage people around their different class and their different race is massively important, because you provide leadership for those people.
Do you know that Afro-Caribbean boys are doing better than English working class boys in the school system? I mean, there is a real danger of confounding race with class, just as there is in America, because there is a black working class or non-working class, welfare-dependent class in America, which is as much economic as it is racial. And I think that it's very important to disentangle these things, especially for the Conservative Party in dealing with the issue.
You're right, but we're working on a history, aren't we? So the Conservative Party has two games. It has to win the political game. You can join us. We are no more or less racist than the other bunch. That's the first thing. And then you get into a deeper cultural debate, because it isn't just the Conservative Party. In fact, if the Conservative Party conflate the two things, that's not half as important as if the education system does or the NHS does. Yeah. That's where the real thing is.
That's not a very attractive message. We're no more or less racist than the others.
But you would say that because you're a white middle-class man. Let me make this quite clear to you. You're in a fairly racist country. It's a fact.
Not as racist as America.
It's not as racist as America, but there's a lot of racism in this country. It is a fact.
I don't think anyone would dispute that. But that's why many, I can't speak for them, but that is why I would imagine many black minority ethnic people feel alienated. That's why many of them drift to the left. That's why many of them are critical of capitalism. That's why many of them are very critical of the Conservative Party, because it's the party of Enoch Powell, for goodness sake.
But the point is, there's two things. The point is, the Conservatives are made to own that, and they don't. One of the deepest conversations I've had about this was with a Rasta man. He asked me why I'm a Conservative. But luckily for me, he's much older than me, and I said to him, when you came here, he said, yes. I said, did you try to get a job that was run by, that had unions on site? I said, yes. I said, was you allowed that job? He said, no. And he pointed out to me, actually, that the when unions ran closed shops, the people they were most close to were black people. The difference is now is that anything around race, the British establishment has to hold on to, and the Conservatives get blamed for that. And when you talk about Enoch Powell, I guarantee you, if you speak to any black voter below the age of probably 60, they
won't
couldn't
know
even
who
tell
he is.
You who he
yeah,
was.
That's right.
The left are far cleverer than have to rely on Enoch Powell. And let's be straight about this as well. The Conservatives haven't been brilliant around race. I'm not telling you it's a whole big lie and they're spot on. No, they've had questions to ask, and many of the questions they haven't answered. But the difference is, the left, luckily for them, have less questions to ask.
Labour voters, Labour working class voters, are as likely to be racist, if not more so, than Tory voters.
That's right.
And that's something that the Tories have not exploited
that
very
on,
well.
Oh,
I'll tell you what I best
we learned something about working class communities.
Whenever the BNP win a seat, they win it from Labour.
From Labour, that's right. And they are much more likely to feel, for example, that welfare dependents, that immigrant welfare dependents are leeching off of them, that they're jumping the queue for council housing. There is an extraordinary amount of racism among Labour voters. And that's something that conservative voters could, to put it crassly, play.
But again, I'm playing the role of the devil's advocate here. The left would argue that that's because of class, that working class people drift to the BNP, but middle class people drift towards UKIP whenever they want to express their
race. But remember, the BNP has been around a lot longer than UKIP, and the drift in one way or the other. The BNP openly state you cannot vote BNP and know that it isn't that, and suggest it's not about racism.
Where you can
at
vote
least,
UKIP and tell yourself that it's
you're not
about
racist.
Racism.
Yeah,
that's
So what can the Conservatives do?
I think the first thing we can do, there's a lot of work being done in the background and in the forefront, it's coming forward. The real thing is for people right down to the constituency level, to the activist level, to the people delivering leaflets, to be more welcoming. I think that's a message for Britain in general, but for the Conservative Party in general. And we need to speak about race. Our weakness is we don't talk about it. So if you don't talk about it, the other side get to tell everybody what you believe about it. We need not to be afraid of it. And there's no... If someone said to me, why am I still interested in politics and being an MP and all the rest of that? Because I want to show that you can be of my race and of my class. For me, the two things are important, and be a member, a front bench member, a back bench member, a fully paid up member of the Conservative Party. That's why I do it, because I think for our social progress, it's very important.
And the educational curriculum really, really has to be tackled. This idea that people are right to feel alienated because they're living in what is a post-colonial culture, that they will never be accepted by this imperial power that deprived them of any pride in their racial identity. If that isn't tackled, you'll never get to first base.
Sean Bailey and Janet Daly, thank you both very much. For more opinion and commentary, you can find us at telegraph.co.uk.